Welcome to the show!
Christian Grishkin. I can't do it!
Christian Bale.
That's why I'm so mad, because I can't do it.
Christian
Grishkin. It's hard to say Christian that much that quickly.
I never learned to Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Oh, dear Lord.
Christian Bale. No, I can't do it.
It's hard. It's difficult.
Well, we went to school for it.
Well, yeah, I'm self-taught.
Self-taught Christian?
You still feel bad.
It's going to take me an extra 5 years, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just keep bailing. You'll get there.
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Welcome to the show.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues
Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Hi. Welcome to the show.
We are here.
Welcome to Zero Issues Comic Podcast. I am Merc.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle.
And this is our show.
And this is our news.
And our news, yes, we're doing news.
Current Zero News Flash.
Dateline, Los Angeles, 2016 AD, Year of Our Lord.
Hi-oh!
Extra, Killing Joke gets R rating. Newspaper industry dying. But yeah, the Killing Joke has officially gotten an R rating.
The animated Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a live action one. Which, like, give it 20 years.
Yeah. It'll happen. Yeah. It's a guarantee.
How do you feel about that?
Eh, whatever.
Yeah. Is it just a wouldn't?
Do you think
that's in response to Deadpool?
I don't think it is, actually.
If
they're going to do it... I mean, this is a direct-to-video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're doing it completely straight... And again, I think keep in mind, like, anything kind of... If you have, like, touch on some adult stuff and it's animated... Something that might be, say, like, a PG-13 in live action, in animation, maybe, just because of, you know... And animation isn't just for kids or anything like that, but it might, you know, they might want to set it as an R just to make absolutely sure it's like, no, don't sit this, little Timmy in front of this. This isn't for him.
It's not going to be heavy metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, God rest John Candy's soul. His alien, weird cocaine sniffing soul.
Yeah.
Right now I'm experiencing a very odd feeling. It's like a fat man sitting on my chest, but not in a fun way.
Other movie stuff, completely different movie. Not a movie. TV.
Ah!
I'm reading it as I'm doing it.
Television.
Jackie Earle Haley, who we might know as he was Rorschach in the Watchmen movie.
Yep.
He was Freddy Krueger this one time.
Yeah.
He's going to be the Terror in that Tick show that they're working on.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
So, Peter Serafinovich.
Yeah, yeah. So the Terror is like this old or golden era sort of supervillain who's... as a giant metal spider. He's got a son that he's not quite close with.
Okay.
He likes to say, ra-ba-ba.
Here we go!
But yeah, I think that's all I could think of casting.
I never really watched much of the live action Tick.
Was the terror in that? I don't think so.
So it's only from the animated
so
and
like,
the comic.
So if they are making this closer to the animated... That's freaking wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, sign me up.
Because
that
animated Terror, that was the best. Just to see when he came on, it was so funny.
Excellent commentary, Merc.
I like when the episode where he fought like all the other like senior citizen superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Let me at him. I'm full of tinier men. Not yet, living doll.
Much better commentary, Kyle Lees.
Oh, man. I rewatched the Tick.
And back to the movies.
It's the sorceress, you boob!
Batman vs. Superman apparently had originally, before they cut it down to the masterpiece that it is now, had 4 hours of content.
Fuck!
So they cut every...
I'll do it. I'll watch it.
They cut every other scene. They cut every other scene in that movie. That's why it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It was all the interstitial stuff that just made... that connected
everything. You needed 4 hours to make that make any damn sense. Yeah.
They cut 7 dream sequences.
Yeah.
What's Lois dreaming about?
What did Jimmy dream about before he got shot in
the head? Yeah. He dreamt about being Superman's pal.
Hey, Hey, Super...
yeah, exactly.
Superman has no pals. And finally, in a sort of... not, is this news? Is this just a thing that exists now? Pokemon lingerie.
What?
Pokemon lingerie. Which is... it's sort of half cosplay, half just furry. And, like, if that's your thing, that's cool. Do your thing.
No judgment.
But, like, this is lingerie of, like, this is a fictional animal character. That's... at the same time, sexy dragons are sexy.
But, you know, I've seen, like, Batman and Superman Batman's lingerie.
Batman's a human being.
Is that, oh, is that how you're differentiating? Yes. That it's like, oh, now I'm drawing the line.
Yeah.
Because it's a fictional animal.
They didn't just do Pokeball. Yes! They didn't just do, like, Pokeball bras? Like, doesn't that make sense? That makes some sense.
Merc and I are just looking at each other. I don't know which one of us is going to make the joke first.
You're such a dick.
Just go for it.
No, let's go to the warm-up.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Welcome to the warm-up. I don't know how this is going to go exactly. This is a new idea for a warm-up that could potentially be something we revisit in the future.
All right.
The rough idea is fandom black sheep. So, anything, like, in comics in particular that go on for decades and decades and decades, there's so many different versions, iterations of stuff. And there are some that, I don't know if I want to say outright hated necessarily, or like, objectively awful, because that's all, that can be a pretty subjective thing. But things that are kind of, like, people are torn on, that are controversial. But ones that are kind of, in general... They're not widely loved. They're highly criticized, something like that.
They tend to be more hated. Okay.
Yeah. And on a kind of a twist, instead of just criticizing, try to find the positives.
Okay.
In something that's not respected widely. Okay. I'm going to start with one that is maybe this might not be the best representation of it. So sorry for getting off to a.
But well, it's a good thing you picked it first.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a lot of stuff like this. For example, that you know, maybe sometime I'll talk about Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation.
Oh, please do.
It's on the docket, but not today.
Okay.
But we had talked about this after recording last time, or the time before, or something like that. But I want to talk about Superman Returns a little bit. Just looking back. Oh,
Brandon Routh?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's a movie that a lot of people really hate. Some don't. I don't think it's objective viewed as being awful. But
no.
I think it's people have not been kind to it.
People don't view it as, I don't want to say it, as canon. But it's sure. Like, it's not, when you think of Superman movies, that's not the first one you think of.
It's very, and again, yeah, it didn't really catch on. It was like an attempt to sort of relaunch the movie franchise, mm-hmm. and it didn't do that. And I think it's kind of the one where it's easy to sort of, like, have it just sort of be a footnote. It's not really remembered as much. Like,
yeah.
Again, like, for better or worse, like, you know, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, that left a big footprint. And obviously the Christopher Reeve movies.
I've mentioned this before on the show. I have not seen a Christopher Reeve movie.
You haven't seen the Superman movies?
I've seen parts.
Really?
Yeah.
But he was never really Superman to me.
Really?
And the first one that I saw, and this was, you know, what, 2005 did it come out?
I think it was 2005 or 2006. It might have been 2006.
I went and saw that, and I was like, I like Superman.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. There were parts that I was like, I
don't know.
But there were problems. But
I don't know how you would develop for the franchise after that movie, though.
It's very much, that's sort of its main flaw. It's very, it's not, again, I wouldn't call it a great movie by any stretch. I think...
I like Brandon.
Yes.
I liked him as Superman.
Yeah.
He was fresh and he was good. And he had he was very similar to Christopher Reeve, and he had that
yeah.
very
yeah.
clear, clean kind of...
I feel like they were really going for that. I think
this is the kind of the thing is. I feel like he's only gotten better as an actor over the years. Yeah. Like him now, like showing up as like Ray Palmer.
As the Adam,
he's very charming. Like
his previous work had been like soap operas.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's been like 10 years since then. He's developed a lot as an actor. Like he showed up in Scott Pilgrim in that small role, but he was hilarious. And he shows up all over these DC TV shows. He's very charming. I feel like now, if you were to like cast a Superman movie right now. Like, starting over, reboot. Him and, with a different direction, Kevin Spacey would be amazing as Superman and Lex Luthor.
Well, the cast is great.
The cast was good. My major problem with that movie was the fact that it was Lex again.
Yeah, okay.
I think that was the whole problem. It was like, there was no fresh thinking, there was no...
I think it would have been approach. Such
it
a
was
problem.
Like, why did we do this?
It was so reverent to like the Donner movies that it was like recreating their plots.
I don't think Lex was the problem.
I think that trying to like having Kevin Spacey, who's a great actor, basically doing like a Gene Hackman thing.
He was kind of doing his own thing. Well, like, Spacey always makes it his own.
He had those moments, like that wrong moment, and like, you know, when he's talking about like Prometheus and the fire and stuff like that. Right there, I'm like, there are these moments where it's just like, you have such a potentially amazing Lex Luthor. I would say, even those few moments were the best live action Lex Luthor, or at least the best movie Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Easily.
Right.
By, like, a lot.
Well, you look at that, and then you look at, like, House of Cards, and, you know...
Yeah.
President Lex.
Exactly.
Would be great.
Exactly. Like, so it's... There was so much potential there that, like, even if it didn't quite hit it, the moments where it kind of just touched on it mean a lot to me. And I will say, as far as, like, a live-action... Even just those Superman sequences, like, when he saves the plane, Metropolis is basically being ripped apart, he's just flying around saving everybody. That scene on the top where he, like, stops a burglary and the guy shoots him in the eye, and he just smirks at him. Those scenes alone, I know they're just little scenes in a movie, but that's, like, the best live-action Superman I've ever seen.
It's the little stuff that makes it good.
Yeah. Like, those scenes alone, I could watch right now, and I would just be utterly charmed. And, I mean, like, there was so much good to it that I think gets kind of overlooked, because overall, yeah, like, it's not the greatest movie. It's weirdly kind of quiet, kind of low-key in some regards, and, like, the plot... kind of dumb, kind of...
The whole Lois Kidd thing.
Yeah, and just that aspect where it sort of turns him into a weirdly creepy deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
Not a great idea. But there's, like, there's so much in that movie that's so good.
Remember that time when you super
good,
knocked
though.
Me up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's
it
the thing, too.
Super.
If they would have just done it as like, a full reboot that was trying to recapture the sort of, like, the spirit of, like, the Christopher Reeves movie instead of being an actual sequel to, like, Superman 1 and 2.
Right.
It could have been amazing.
Why wasn't it a sequel to 3 and 4? Oh.
Was he not questing for peace?
No. Peace had been attained.
Yeah.
He wasn't around to quest.
That's really all I got. I just wanted to defend parts of something that maybe gets kind of crapped on a lot. And it's something that I kind of, you know...
Well, it's funny because we all liked it.
It's weird, right? So. Okay, so maybe that wasn't the best one to start with, but...
No, it was. That's the whole point. Yeah. Is things that are crapped on that we turn it around and look for the good stuff. If we all enjoyed it, then
thanks for making me feel better.
There we go. No.
And also, I will just say, I loved the style of, like, the Daily Planet, like, kind of, like, Art Deco style, that building and everything like that, the thing of him catching the globe, the way, like... There's so much stuff there. It's very, like, romanticized, like, 30s, like, idea of, like journalism and, like, working in a newspaper, which, okay, doesn't make any sense anymore, and didn't make any sense in 2006, but it's one of those things I think you kind of just
do
have
a story on Prohibition!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's part, like, that's such an essential part of Superman that I think...
your sports.
Yeah. I think trying to update, like, the Daily Planet to be a more realistic newspaper in today's age, maybe that's one of those things you have to be like, yeah, in their world, the newspapers are doing fine.
Yeah.
It's such an important part of that
myth. Like, is that the most unbelievable thing?
Yeah, exactly. And it sort of just owned that classic quality to that stuff, and it had a really good look and a really good feel to it.
Posey was in it.
Parker Posey.
I like that.
Oh, Parker Posey's always good.
Yeah.
Again, so many things to like about it. More than even I thought. And I'm the one who started talking about how much I liked it.
What the f***? For today's topic, let's join now a group of young people at the National Education Program Workshop in Searcy, Arkansas.
So this week, we're doing politics.
Uh-oh.
Politics and comics. Right now, in the U.S. at least.
But
we're not in the U.S. But
do politics belong in comics?
I wasn't going to go there. I was like, I've done that joke 800 times.
I know. And that's my note.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
That is your only note.
Yeah. That's very sadly my only note. Yes. I had a busy week.
I'd say not in every comic.
No.
What isn't political? Anything to be politicized.
Well, really. Like, when you say politics, do you mean just, the governing body of a country, that politics side? Do you mean more politically nuanced thing? Yeah, gender politics, race, yeah, all that stuff.
Well, I feel like that's the sort of thing we should have decided on before picking the topic.
Possibly. Perhaps we should talk more. I kind of took it as the whole thing. I started off as the idea of just, like, politics, because right now in the States, they're doing their whole primaries, and that's the big thing at the moment. But really, even within that, stemming from that, especially from Trump, is the whole race and tons of things just stemming from that that are beyond governing politics and more into the politics of, like, race and class and whatever.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, like, you know, people saying, like, politics don't belong in comics. Well, horseshit. Because, pardon my language, but
whispering is the quiet way to talk when you have to talk.
Look at original Superman, like the first major superhero.
Yep.
And he was basically like busting slumlords and like corrupt politicians.
Just people who don't realize what they're reading half the time.
Oh, for sure.
Like, literally, like, three-quarters of comic books some sort of form of politics in them.
Oh, of course. Right? But if you look at, like, the origins of superheroes, it's very political. Like, it absolutely
Everybody
is.
Obviously always references Captain America.
Of course.
Socking old Red Skull Red Skull and Hitler on the jaw.
One fist.
Yeah.
Both of them.
He just, one fist, two huge fists. Oh, audio podcast.
Or tasering them in the dick.
So it was just like a whatever. Kiss sound and then a hua.
I think I sold it.
Clango, take that, you fucking Nazi. Yeah.
And that is, of course, that's the main one. But, like, there's, like, really, mutants themselves.
Exactly.
What they represent are minorities or really, whatever.
It came out in 1963. They're all white people representing minorities, but again, it's a step. You know what I mean?
Well, like, no, but it's the idea of, like, here's a group that the larger group does not like and views down upon. So it's
some
a way.
Of them
it's
can pass.
It's the way to talk about racism without actually talking about racism, which is often the strength of fiction of. Science fiction, fantasy, and that sort of.
I read or heard this. I don't know. I don't know if it was one of you, but just the idea that the original five X-Men, you had two that had to go to a lot of effort to hide who they really were,
right.
To pass, as you say. Like, you had Angel having to tie his wings, and you had, like, Beast, who had to, like, basically, like, you know, wear big shoes and stuff like that. And then you had like Bobby and Jean, who
kind of
didn't have to do anything.
Passed as they were,
And you have Cyclops sort of, I forget who wrote this. It was either on my Facebook or Reddit somewhere.
I've never seen that.
So terribly sorry, I'm not trying to steal somebody else's point here. I read it somewhere, but, and then you had Cyclops right in the middle who passes, but at the same time, you know, he can never take those glasses off. So it's sort of like, kind of like, runs a bit of the spectrum of being an actual kind of minority. Like, some can pass, some can't.
Yeah.
Within the metaphor.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, again, and politically, you know, metaphor. It works pretty well. Especially for something like the X-Men.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember reading God Loves, Man Kills for the first time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that's where it never clued in. I was a kid. And it never clued in that that's what the metaphor was. Because it didn't have to. That doesn't matter if that's not what you're looking for. But then all of a sudden I read that, and especially I always, whenever anybody says God Loves, Man Kills, I think of two points in that book, the first of which is Magneto at the swing set,
yeah,
where the kids were shot and killed because they were muties, sort of thing, and it's like they were like two little black kids that were just shot down and gunned down because of who they were. And then that crosses over. It's like, okay, they're black kids, but they're also mutants. But oh my God, is that what that's supposed to be? Is that what they're hinting at? And then later on, when, what is it?
Stryker
is up on stage and points at Nightcrawler.
Right.
And then there's that big spiel about,
right,
you're defending that. And then Kitty jumps out and defends him, and he's like, he's more human than you are. And then that, it just encapsulates the whole thing. Like, oh right. My God, he visually looks like a demon, so you're seeing him as that. And it's,
and on top of that, like, he's more genuinely spiritual.
Absolutely. And like, really what that character is.
Christian, yeah, character than, obviously, Stryker, who is a bigot.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah.
You know, I don't know when I first realized that the X-Men were a metaphor for anything at all. I think the first time I read something where it mentioned that, I just thought, well, yeah, of course. But it never really clicked. It's as
subconscious,
like,
a, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it sort of seems like it's kind of,
I was indoctrinated.
Yeah. But it, like, really, like, it's the metaphor works really well to sort of teach maybe younger, you know, if you're like, yeah, a kid who gets into the X-Men, understanding like, oh, you're hated just because you're genetically different than other people, and you might not fully get what that means in the wider world because you're young and sheltered and don't really know enough, but it sort of maybe teaches you a little bit about just the concept of discrimination based on those kind of terms. And yeah.
If you're going for like the wider sort of birth of politics, the right, idea of that sort of stuff, then there's things like Frank Miller's Holy Terror.
Good Lord.
Which we have talked about before.
That was an alternate title for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That it originally was a Batman story that he eventually realized partway through drawing it was like, they're never going to...
Yeah, he realized that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. I did read an article very recently where it said that he realized that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It was probably
someone not. Realized this.
DC was somebody like, holy DC fuck, we will never put that out. Are you insane?
No. Side note before we get back to that. So like, Dark Knight 3, I don't know if either of you are reading it.
No.
But no. It's apparently mostly Brian Azzarello doing the writing. And Frank Miller has gone on to say that, okay, now it's a 4-part thing. I'm going to write part 4. Because part 3 isn't bad. Like, it's not amazing, but it's pretty okay. So, yeah. Of course, yeah.
So, every odd number has to be decent or good.
Yep.
Every it's like even a number has to be just the worst.
It's like a Foo Fighters album. Oh, yeah. Every second one is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do the radio hits? Okay, sorry. Anyway, back to
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom,
the Islamophobic
yes
mess.
That was ugly.
Yeah,
I have not read the whole thing. I've just seen excerpts online, but even then, that was just hard to stomach. That's just.
Yeah. I get the shits every time, don't you know?
There's that end of politics and that sort of thing. And then there's actual, like, more politics, where you have stuff like Alan Moore's stuff, like V for Vendetta,
right,
and Watchmen, mm-hmm, really delves into, like, actual governing politics and sometimes the corrupting influence and just class systems and things that come out of that, of creating that sort of system. But
what about, like, in more recent stuff, Sam Wilson's turn as Cap?
Yeah.
Yep.
And how he you know, decided to gone and like, okay, I'm Captain America. I can't not be political. I can't be, you know, I can't not take a side. Here's what I believe. Get on board or don't, but I'm still Captain America.
Well, they had that whole...
I'm your Captain America.
That's gotten controversy, well, controversy in the sense that, you know, Fox News uses it to get people mad. There was the issue where I think it was a tea party parody of like Tea Party people or something.
Oh yeah.
With involved with that where I think like Sam Wilson was, they were the bad guys.
Yeah.
Go figure. And they had, but the thing
is, this is not the first time. Like, Captain America, like, no. I've read Captain America since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's delved into that sort of stuff pretty heavily. Oh, yeah. Since
you've had him, like, disavow the government and drop the mantle because he can't stomach his government. You know what I mean?
Actually just reread that entire part, that entire arc, where it was, they basically, you have to work for us, you're going to come back into our service, or, you know, like, you can't be Captain America. He's like, but I am Captain America. Like, you don't understand. Oh, but we own, like, the brand of Captain America, kind of thing. Like, well,
what are you gonna sue me?
Yeah, he's like, and the thing was, he was like, well, I don't want to go against my country, but this is not what I want. So I guess he gives up the shield, and that's when Johnny Walker becomes
right.
And that it's actually one of my favorite story arcs. Mm. And I forgot how much I liked it, and it's pretty nuanced for the time. Like, we tend to get a little more nuanced as comics have gone on, but
was that the Grunewald?
It was Grunewald, yeah. Oh, Grunewald, yeah.
Was, yeah. Yep.
I really like Grunewald stuff, I always have, but he just goes into, Johnny Walker was from the South,
Captain America was from the North.
Well, but he was from the South.
They were like brothers.
Goes to visit his parents, and then, like, they're delving with, like, oh, do we reveal who he is? And his old manager reveals his name as Captain America, and then his parents get killed by the Watchdog group, who coincidentally have popped up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah!
The Watchdog group. And as soon as they saw that, I was like, oh, shit, are we
getting into that? They're, like, anti-inhumans.
Yeah.
They're basically, like, they're an anti-inhuman They're a militia.
Yeah. 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 Which
There's,
is
like, a whole clan of them, or...
exactly. These Watchdogs kill his parents, and then he goes crazy. And kills, like, tons of Watchdogs and just goes nuts. And then he becomes USA agent. And he's always been kind of...
Yeah, a little unstable.
A little unstable.
A little violent, a little extreme.
But in that whole arc, there's so much political thing. But in terms of Steve Rogers dealing with the politics of, like, you have to be controlled by us, and you're a brand, and you're our guy in the forefront, and... but if you're going to do what we say, you can't be that symbol. Oh, right. Somebody else is going to be that symbol. But then, it totally fucks up and deals with a lot
Come
of...
Come back!
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mexico, at the border, they're laughing at us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
Loki is running for president, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
He's got my vote as a Canadian citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Amongst the options, right?
I mean, he's honest that he's going to lie to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know.
And you know, he's a job creator.
I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's a great wall builder.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.
Oh, he's a great builder. Builder. He likes to build things.
Yeah. His brother's got a great hammer.
Well, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
Oh, no, he doesn't anymore. Oh, no!
His sister has a great hammer.
Yeah, sure.
There's been also, like, Lex has been president.
Yep.
Even this wasn't enough for you, was it? You had to have it all.
There's been...
Cap has been president.
Cap. Has he actually been
there
president?
There was the what if. And
there was the what if.
That's Ultimate Cap was president.
Oh, was he?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then he got blown up fighting Galactus. Or did he? Nobody knows because nobody finished reading Ultimate Comics.
And now it's over, so who cares?
Yeah.
One of my first comics was actually that what if Captain America had become president. And that was, it was like, I think I still have it. It's totally shredded to
And
pieces.
It's him on the cover. Holding up one hand, other hand on the Bible, and holding the other side of the Bible, like holding it up to him. Black Cat. Weird. That is my what if mashup. Well, what if mashup of the week. We're going to do them every week now.
Each and every week.
Donnie, you're out of your element.
Wasn't there like some alternate reality, ultimate thing where like Thor was the president? That doesn't make sense because he's from Norway.
I don't remember.
Or Asgard. He's not an American citizen. That made no sense.
Well, what if it did?
There
what
is.
What if Mark Miller?
There is an old Cap story from during the Watergate era.
Yes.
Where Yeah. You know what I'm getting at?
I do.
It's the secret empire, and they try to take over. Like, it's like some secret cult.
Yeah, yeah.
And they try to take over the world, and they we're going to do it through using the U.S. nuclear military. And basically, Cap, of course, defeats them and takes them all out. But then there's one guy that gets away. And where does he go? He goes to the White House. Yeah. And he gets him in the Oval Office. And it's not. This obviously during Watergate with Nixon.
Yeah.
They don't show it. It's not. He's got a mask and he takes the mask off.
And it's a Nixon mask.
It's, yeah, it fits perfectly.
It's weird because it's an Obama mask and it's
yeah, it's
anachronistic as heck.
And of course they don't show it, but it's, well, how did they say it? It's he's a high political officer. Is basically, that's the exact words they use. Which could be anybody, but...
And based on, like, Cap's reaction...
Yeah, it's like, oh my god! Like, and then he shoots himself.
Yeah.
Nixon shoots himself. And then, right afterwards, Cap becomes Nomad. He gives up being Captain America at that point.
Yeah.
Well, and it was years later that the guy who wrote it admitted. He's like, yep, that was Nixon. Nixon shot himself.
So here's the thing. I know that people getting worked up about stuff, if people are upset about something, you hear about it so much easier now than then.
Yeah.
Just saying, if you had a comic, say, in 2007, where a Captain America comic published by Marvel Comics, where George W. Bush was revealed to be a supervillain, and then Captain America tries to stop him, and then George W. Bush shoots himself in the head, how would that fly? Fox News would not ever stop talking about it.
It's very weird, though, because on the cover, Stephen Colbert.
Did you get up this morning and not try to kill someone?
You gotta have a variant, come on.
Oh, of course.
You gotta have a variant.
I think that's a good wrap-up right there.
Moment of Zero.
Walking to the Moment of Zero, I was like, oh my god, who's doing it? Oh, it's me. Isn't it? Yeah.
It's me.
We're doing crazy real life comic stories.
Did we get the Skeletor out of our system already?
No, never. Well,
someone else did.
Never, you boob. Yeah, there are a lot of really weird, some of them are like strange coincidences is stuff. Don't look at the stuff. stuff that happened in the comics, but some of the stuff that happened in real life from comic creators is really not just oh, that's weird. That's interesting. It's like, what the fuck? Have you ever heard of the artist and writer Mark Diana? Or sorry, Mike Diane. I said Mark.
The name is familiar, but I don't know why, and I feel like I'm about to find out.
You're about to find out.
Is it like a pseudonym that Wonder Woman went by?
Fake beard.
Hello.
Tell the truth.
I had something in my throat.
My last
extra X chromosome.
He is the first artist in the United States to ever be successfully prosecuted for obscenity. And he's a comic artist.
Yeah, and boy.
How long ago do you think that was?
Yeah.
68 years ago.
I want to say, like, not as long ago as you would think.
When I started reading it, I was like, wow, that must have been a while ago.
It's like 80s or 90s?
90s.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In the 90s, Mike Diana self-published a book called Boiled Egg. And I need to track some... I tried to find some images of it just to see what was the deal, but I couldn't find any. It was apparently very violent, and it's a crazy collection of stories, just... like, really breaking a lot of taboos and just going over the edge on a lot of stuff.
Right.
That being said, in 1991, a cop posed as another artist and mail-ordered some of his work. And from that, I don't know if it has to do with something being... I have a feeling in the States, something being mailed. Okay, you purchased it and it enters the mail. That, like, solidifies it as a felony.
Okay.
I'm not sure the legality of that or how that works. Huh. But basically, he was charged with 3 counts of obscenity from that. And so he started battling it, and he couldn't beat it. In 1994, he was charged, even like this, he got the, there's the Comic Book Defense Fund, which, you know, like it's kind of a charitable fund that gets put in to help comic artists battle legal whatever at that time.
Right.
He used that, but he couldn't beat it. In 1994, he got 3 years of probation, a psychological evaluation, and this is the clincher, he has to submit to random searches for the rest of his life to guarantee that he's not drawing.
Not drawing?
Not drawing?
That he's not drawing.
So he's not allowed to draw.
He's not allowed to draw. Because he's so damaging to the world that if he draws something, it'll just explode.
And this is basically like a setup. From the get-go, right? Like, he'd made stuff. They knew about it. They just tried to trap him. Like, there's entrapment, really. If a cop is posing as something to try to, like, catch you in a way where they know they can charge
you.
Well,
but that's, like...
I want to watch, like, the drama that eventually is made out of this.
Yeah.
Like, the movie version of this. Yeah. Because this is enthralling.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I was reading this and are you kidding me? I need to track down more of this. I don't really know. I really just got the kind of the peripheral of the stories. That's all I know. I need to find more, and I need to find out what's happened to this guy since. That's since 94 that he was sentenced to 3 years of probation.
Round two
versus.
Okay, do you guys know the name Julius Schwartz?
Oh yeah, Julius Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a long, long time editor at DC.
Okay.
Yeah, like one of their.
He was,
one
of the probably if not the most influential editor at DC.
Yeah,
The big
for
dog.
Decades and decades.
For sure.
He retired in 1984, but then he was named the Goodwill Ambassador for DC, sort of thing, until his death in 2004. He was often called Uncle Julie.
Right.
Which will sound super creepy once I tell this story.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear God.
Among other female creatives that were working at DC, artist Colleen Doran publicly stated that Uncle Julie touched her inappropriately, groping her in a limo when she was still a teenager.
John.
And, yeah. And there
I
was,
did not know that, actually.
I know. I know. I just found this one website that had all this stuff, and I was like, oh, I've never heard any of this. Oh, my God. I know a lot about comic history, but I've never heard that, and that really disturbs me. And the fact that, and there was multiple claimants that said this, and DC did nothing, and in fact made him Goodwill Ambassador.
Oh, my God.
Good old Uncle Julie.
At first, it was like, oh, yeah, Julie Schwartz, and I'm like, oh, Julie Schwartz. Like, that's...
I thought it was going to be, like, a fun story about him.
That's not fun at all.
No.
That is awful.
So put that in your mustache and chew on it.
I have several other stories, but I'm only going to do one more. You can either have the Jim Steranko one or the Dave Cockrum one.
Oh, no.
Dave Cockrum.
Does everyone even know that... We can touch on the Jim Steranko one, right? Very briefly?
Well, no, it's... Well, no, there's that.
There's the slap.
The slap is
everyone knows the slap.
The slap is only part of it. Really.
Just look at.
It's
look
more
up.
A history of him, which is just interesting.
Yes,
look up. I want a story.
Look up Jim Steranko slap online.
I'll talk about it another time. I'm going to do the Dave Cockrum one.
Yes.
Dave Cockrum's resignation letter was actually published in Iron Man 127, like almost verbatim. They changed one word. It's the in that issue, Jarvis.
It was originally "fuck mine, Marvel."
Well, I'm done. The story's done.
How'd you know?
In that issue, Jarvis resigns from the Avengers.
Okay.
Who, obviously, Jarvis is linked with Iron Man. So it's in Iron Man that he resigns from the Avengers. Basically, show his letter of resignation.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he just gave me this. What is this? And then one panel, they show it, and you can read it, and it's totally legible. It's Cockrum's letter. Basically saying, like, there's no team spirit, there's the disintegration of morale, not one big happy family anymore, there's unfair, malicious treatment, I'm not waiting around to find out what happens. Like, fuck this.
Where, whatabouts was this published?
Where?
Like in time. Like, it was in the 80s?
Probably would have been early 80s.
Did they just sort of, like, publish it? Was it, like, I don't know who was in charge at the time. I'm not to throw a name out there, but was it, like, Jim Shooter, like, squiggled out and said, Tony Stark?
The only word changed was Marvel to Avengers.
Oh, man.
So then, 3 issues later, the writer at the time was Dave Michelinie. 3 issues later, Dave Michelinie explains, oh, there was, like, in the letters or whatever, like, oh, there was a mix-up due to a production error.
Yeah.
But really, no one really knows. But, like, obviously, that was intentional.
That's badass.
That is incredibly intentional.
That's the best, like, way to quit any job.
That's kind of incredible.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Ah, Dave Cockrum.
Yeah. And Dave Cockrum was pretty influential at Marvel.
Yeah, oh, God,
he
yes.
He half created some of the new X-Men.
That was, his fingerprints were all over that.
Yeah,
he,
yeah.
Like, he took characters that he made for Legion of Superheroes, like Nightcrawler and stuff like that, and made them, like, the most iconic X-Men there are.
Yeah, exactly.
So some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a thing.
That's awesome.
Shoot, man.
That's a badass.
I'm never going to be able to quit a job that cool.
Don't worry. We'll blow stuff up.
We really? Will. We totally will.
Cut to that Pixie song.
With your feet on the air, your head on the ground.
Where is my mind?
Oh, right, but first plugs.
Yeah.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. You can find me at Merc or Zero Issues Comic Podcast on Facebook. On my website, you can buy t-shirts, you can buy graphic novels, you can buy posters, you can buy whatever. Ask me and I'll probably sell it.
Yeah. Anything you want.
Anything.
I'm Bri. You can find my comic at welcometohereafter.com, and you can find me most social media things, BRYKOTYK. I did, I don't know how, if you can say recently anymore, but I have self-published a...
It's recent.
Yeah, a couple months. Self-published a the first collection of Welcome to Hereafter in book form, so definitely, if you want one of those, please hit me up. I will gladly sell you one.
And I am Kyle Lees. You can check me out by putting the Kyle Lees into Google, like I just did. It brings up Twitter, it brings up Instagram, Facebook. Hopefully it'll bring up my store, because it's got like a really long name. I'll get it all under one umbrella very soon.
Squareup.ca/store/thekylelees.
Squareup.com/store/thekylelees.
Oh, I messed it up.
Okay, say that all again.
Hi, I'm Kyle. Jeez.
No, the Jeez Square Up.
.com/store/thekylelees. You should go there. You should check it out.
We'll link it underneath the...
I'm going to have everything under one umbrella very soon. So
yeah, until then.
Yeah, until then.
Until we all got stuff. You can buy it, and we'd appreciate it if you would.
Because we like to eat food.
You know who else is great is Ocean City Defender, who...
He's so great!
He helped out with the theme song.
Exactly.
By doing, I want to say, 75% of the work? I don't know, I wasn't there. What do you think? Because Merc did work on it, too.
I'm just going to pour myself a beer.
They both worked very hard.
I don't know, I wasn't there.
We both worked very hard.
Ocean City Defender.
But really, like, we did it in his studio, and I basically, I was like, I have this idea. What do you think of this? I'm like, I played it on guitar, do you want to do this? Yeah. And he put it all together. He's like, here, what about these drums? Oh, that works.
Yeah.
And he's like, here, play my guitar. Okay. And yeah.
And like all the interstitial stuff, everything you hear that's music, that's not us yammering, is him and also Merc.
Two creative minds came together, made some good stuff. It's amazing. So you should definitely check out Ocean City Defender online. He's got a lot of music on that you can, you know, listen to, download, buy.
He's got a couple albums you can get.
Really good stuff.
He's doing
a lot of
soundtrack stuff now.
Yeah.
And movie soundtrack stuff now. He's
super talented.
Working musician.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got a new baby on the way.
Oh, another one? So there you go.
Double babies?
Yeah,
he's got... I'm seeing double.
He's got one baby already, and he's got another one on the way.
So he needs money. So you know what? Exactly. You go, you can buy some music. You can buy some music, enjoy it, it's great. You can support an independent musician. And also, while you're on the internet...
There you go.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you.
No, 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 you go ahead. You jump all over me, baby.
You can find us all over the place. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, Zero Issues, or Zero Issues Comic Podcast. You can follow us there. If you can give us a good rating, that would be amazing. You can please subscribe. All of that helps us a lot. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Please give us a follow.
We post a lot of extra stuff, too.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's pretty much the show.
Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Stop.
Thank you, darling.